Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. I am 48 years young today, and to be completely honest, I do not feel young. I feel the age hitting me like a Mack truck, but that's kind of an 80s reference. Mack and Peterbilts are old diesel trucks that were popular in the 80s. Today, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. Proof of how old I feel. I don't know, maybe a Toyota truck. Elon Musk electric truck. That's how me running into one of those is what I feel like as far as hitting 48. You know what's weird is somewhere around 40, you wake up and you realize things are different. Just biology, like your body, the way it moves. You don't recover as fast, you know. You start noticing things like that. And then then you forget, and it kind of becomes the norm. And then I think around this age, around 48, maybe 50, you get another reminder that you have been on this planet for a while, and you are starting to wear out. Now, that being said, I feel like emotionally and spiritually and kind of quality of lifey, like all of that, I feel the best I've ever felt. I feel less panic. I feel like there is no problem so big that it's going to cause me to, you know, believe the sky is falling, right? Of course, I still have anxiety and all that, but I mean, as a 48-year-old, you've been through some things, and you're just, what it takes to get you to throw chairs is a lot, you know? So I've chosen to see my 48 years on this planet as more of tree rings, a lot of life lessons and revelations, more so than focusing on not being as strong or fast, you know, or taking multiple days to recover after a hard workout. The same workout I used to, you know, do twice a day. Today, it takes 3-4 days just to recover from. Anyway, let's talk about some of my revelations. I do this every year, whether it's via blog or audio, just kind of reflecting back on my past year and jotting down some revelations. Now, if you read my Instagram post, this podcast will go deeper on these revelations. So hopefully you're not just hearing me read something. All right, number one, life is not short, it's actually long. We have plenty of time to reinvent ourselves many times over. Now, I know you've heard this, but I really believe it's true. I feel like I've had two lives, I've had two careers. You know, for me, the first half of my life was just exploration and failing and getting back on the horse and a lot of chasing. The second half of my life has been more a lot of the seeds that I planted now bearing fruit. The second part of my life, emotionally, I've matured so much, learning a lot about love and relationships and just being more calm and having a sense of self. And I got to say, the second part of my life has been 100 times better than the first part of my life. But I also believe that the second part of my life would not be the way it is unless I went through the first part of my life, right? I think you have to go through a tunnel to come out the other end with a different perspective and insight. You know, the evolution comes through the grind. And if you have never gone through anything difficult or challenging, then there's no rebirth, you know? And I think that it requires a rebirth. You got to cross that great divide to then look back and say, oh, I'm in such a better place today, you know? Whether that's mentally, emotionally, intellectually, financially, whatever. All right, number two, no one will hate you forever. And if they do, it's easier to see that it wasn't you. I think back at relationships, mostly, you know, people that I've been romantic with, and I always feel like, oh, this person hates me, this person hates me, and I and maybe you can relate to this, I just wish that no one hated me, you know, and I even have friends where I'm sure that because we've drifted, they have feelings toward me or, you know, how it ended. And of course, this is a choice. I do not have proof that no one will hate you forever. But I believe that with time comes forgiveness. With time comes, you know, the people that have anger, resentment towards you, that have grudges. I think it just fades, you know. People stop feeding into it, you know. And if they don't, if it's still a giant bonfire instead of a pilot light, then to me, it's just proof that they haven't gone anywhere. You know, speaking of tunnels, like they haven't had their rebirth or evolution. And at least for me, then I feel compassion. I feel like, oh, that's where they're at. I accept that. Anyway, I choose to believe that no one will hate you forever. It's just easier to live that way. Number three, I still have things blocking me and I don't know where to start. I don't know what it is that's blocking me. It's not so much, I mean, it's nothing obvious. I just believe I've got things happening in my subconscious. I mean, I guess we all do, right? I mean, and also it doesn't matter how much work you've done on yourself. It's hard to turn over every rock and know what is blocking you, you know, whether it's with love or career, just your potential in general. And as I turn 48, as I get older, I start thinking about what I want to leave behind, you know, like what kind of dent can I make before I go? And so I've been thinking about what's blocking me. And I think for me, the next thing is it's going to be more of a spiritual conversation, you know, instead of just limited beliefs. All right, next one, slow and curious is always the better choice, and that's probably not for everyone, but at least for me, because I'm high-strung, I'm impulsive, I'm impatient. I mean, I'm an Aries, so I just, whenever I turn my dial to slow and curious, not just in the bedroom, whenever I turn my dial to slow and curious in life, it's just better. I make better choices. I make smarter choices. You know, I don't regret. I don't look back and think, oh, shit, I should not have done that. Or, you know, slow and curious, I think, is the better way. Although not the easier way. Okay. Next one. There are so many things happening that you can't see. And so you got to trust the unfolding. Oh, man, this is a big one. Most of my life, because I couldn't see things that were happening, I would be depressed, frustrated. I would have a lot of anxiety. I would, you know, try to take life by the horns and try to like wrangle and wrestle life, and it was much stronger than me. And so I always felt depowered. I always felt powerless, you know. And one thing that I've realized in the last few years is, there are things happening, we just can't see them, you know? And it's a choice to believe this, but life is so much bigger when you believe this. You're able to let go, you know? If you know that things are happening, whether it is career-oriented or maybe things are happening inside you that you're not aware of, you know? Some kind of evolution, some kind of shedding, right? Maybe they're that you're going through something internally that you're not aware of, you got to trust that, because things are going to unfold and pan out, and whatever you're going through is going to pass, you know? It's just the way that life is. And so when you believe things are happening, there's movement. You're not stuck, right? And so for me, it's just something that I remind myself, is that just because I don't see it doesn't mean that, you know, there's no movement, that things are not happening. Just because you don't see people talking shit about you doesn't mean that it's happening. It is happening every day. I'm just kidding. Okay. Sorry. Oh, here's another one. I finally let go of the fact that I'm a 32-inch waist. So for men, it seems like 32. I don't know about women, but for men, the 32-inch waist is kind of like the standard, right? Most, I wouldn't say most, but that's kind of the ideal waist size. And when I eat these days, I have to unbutton my pants because I'm in denial that my waist is actually a 33, because I don't want to be a 33. I want to be a 32. I'm also not the tallest guy, so shit, you know, I don't want my waist to be bigger than inseam. So I've accepted the fact that I am a 33. Now that when I buy pants online, I just click on 33, because when I do the 32, sometimes it'll fit perfect, and then if I accidentally dry them once, they're too tight. And life is too short for pants that are too tight. And so if I'm going to wear pants, I'm okay with getting a 33. Okay, next one. I love this one. This one's brand new. This one, I just had this revelation after interviewing someone on a podcast. This is like a week old. It's fresh. This one is right out of the oven. Okay. If you have gone somewhere dark and have come back injected by a new spirit that lenses, you are an angel. You have earned wings through your journey, and this new you will impact others, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. This is what angels look like on this planet, normal humans with a character arc. This came from a interview where and I hope you listen to it, because it was such a powerful interview, where he was contemplating suicide, and a miracle happened as he put the gun under his chin. It's an amazing story, and I believe that person, through his transformation and things that happened in his life, is now he's an angel. Like, whether he's aware of it or not, his story, his way of being, the way that he sees the world after his suicide attempt has given him a halo, in a way. Like, he's different, you know, spiritually different. And I think that just him being on this planet, he's affecting other people. And I think this is what angels look like on Earth, besides dogs. I think all dogs are angels on this planet. I think Bukowski said that. But as far as humans, humans that have gone through the most, but you actually have to come back, right? You can't go into a dark place and like, you can't have an addiction, stay there, and claim you're an angel. You have to actually recover, heal, you know, go through your rebirth, and something about you has to change internally. And within that, I think there has to be a spiritual transformation. And when that happens, you become a vessel. You become greater than you. And I think that turns you into an angel. Okay, next one. We're not meant to do or have anything we're desperately trying to force. This is kind of the story of my life, trying to force things. And now I believe that if you are forcing too much, if you're trying to, you know, push that round peg into the square hole, it's not meant. It's just not meant to be. And I find that we do a lot of forcing, and I think that just creates anxiety. It's one of the reasons why we're so miserable, you know, whether we're trying to force a relationship or, you know, force, I don't know, a certain career path, or force ourselves into a 32 waist pair of pants. When you're desperately trying to force things in life, it wasn't meant to be. And if you believe this, it's so easier to let go, right? Next one, I need to pray more. Yes, I want to be a more spiritual person. And not that, you know, being spiritual just means prayer, but it's something I haven't done in a long time. And I used to pray when I was younger, but I feel like I feel like I prayed because I thought I had to. I don't think it was coming from an authentic place. So that's one thing I'm going to do more of is pray. Okay, next one. Depth is greater than width. And this is just a general statement. So whether we're talking about social media or human collisions or, you know, having coffee with coffee and conversation with your friend, go deeper instead of wider, whatever that looks like for you. All right, the next one, as I take a sip of my coffee, I don't love coffee anymore, and I don't know what to do with that. In the last 6 months, coffee has kind of grossed me out, and I gotta be honest, I didn't know I would ever say that. I mean, I used to be obsessed with coffee. I mean, I would drink 4 or 5 cups a day. I'm very picky with my coffee. I love pour-overs. Coffee was such nectar. And these days, I just kind of use coffee to wake up. I just had this revelation that I'm not really enjoying it. And I think the takeaway there is that nothing's forever. And, you know, your taste buds can change. You could one day not like something that you used to love, and you may be confused by that, but it's just another sign that we are always changing. Next one, string cheese is underrated. It is. When's the last time you had string cheese? Probably when you were like 12. Go to the grocery store. Next time at the grocery store, buy some string cheese, and let me know. What do you think? Don't just bite it like it's beef jerky. Pull it so it's stringy. It's an interesting texture. I mean, okay, think about it. What other food do you eat that is stringy like that? That's why I think it's underrated. It's so unique, you know? The other thing is I think it kind of tugs on the kid in us, and I love that. All right, so string cheese is underrated, and chickens are overrated. We are sadly giving our chickens away to a better home. The chickens are going on an acre of land to a friend's house because, I'll be honest with you, they shit so much. I got to hose down the side of my house 3-4 times a day, and these shits, you know, I thought chickens shit like birds. They shit like dogs. They are the heaping piles of shit every day. And you know, you can't train them, so there's just shit everywhere. So it's the ROI is horrible. It's not worth the eggs. And by the way, you're getting one egg a day. And also, if you have had the chickens since they were chicks, they kind of become pets, and I actually don't eat the eggs. It kind of grosses me out. It's not what I thought. Chickens are overrated. All right. And here's the other thing. If you love eating chickens, like I love chickens. It's one of my favorite foods. It's very confusing when you have them as pets. Because then when you're eating a chicken, like you're just like, oh, this is weird. So that's the other reason we're kind of getting rid of our chickens. The internet is a really scary place now, and this is no joke. Partly because of cancel culture and how people are hiding behind their phones, and man, my first experience of this is I think a few months ago I posted something about beige underwear and being a non-negotiable, right? And That was a post that I posted. It was a repost. So it was something that I posted many years ago, and people just kind of thought it was funny, and I was kind of half serious, half joking. And then this time around, when I reposted it, holy shit, I got a lot of angry women saying, don't fucking tell me what kind of underwear to wear. And I get that. I understood that. I didn't word it right. You know, I was careless in my wording. But I understood, though, in that experience, what it's like for like people to come at you on the internet. And then I was thinking, shit, man, I can't imagine other people who have had, people that are angry at what they're saying. And then even though it's the internet, you know, there's real people behind these profiles and these comments. They can really hurt you. Absolutely. So, I mean, it impacted me. Anyway, I know there's a lot of that going on. Next one. I said this earlier before. I am trying to see age as tree rings. Next one. This one's big. It's never about what you think it's about. I just think this is a life rule. It's never about what you think it's about. Whether it's that fight, whether it's what's unfolding in your life, the universe is just... And I don't think that it's a tricky thing. I don't think that, you know, God, the universe is trying to trick you. I think it makes life magical, you know? It makes life not obvious, you know? And it's interesting that when something happens to you or you meet someone or whatever it is, you have a fight and you realize, oh, it wasn't about that, it was about this. Like, to me, that's what makes a great story, you know, the subtext. And so, yeah, I think it's good. Next one, we set our own traps. You can relate to this, right? And then the next one is, but we also have the key. All right, I'm almost done. Just a couple more. Next one, I really miss stick shifts and fear they will be extinct very soon. So I'm a gearhead. Grew up with into cars, modifying cars. You know, in the 90s, my brother and I grew up racing RX-7s and, you know, that whole a little bit of the Fast and Furious kind of world. And it was so much fun. I've always been a gearhead. And then, of course, I kind of grew up and... you know, bought an SUV, thought that's what you're supposed to do when you get married. And then I got into motorcycles a little bit. But I really miss having a stick shift car because they don't really make them anymore. I think Porsches still make stick shifts. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing like cars are too, I think they're too, there's too much technology. Like there's an M5 that when you turn, it's a BMW, when you turn the corner, the seat actually closes in and holds you, which is kind of a cool feeling, I guess. But I don't, there's something about that that bothers me. It's like, don't hold me. I don't need you to make me feel comfortable. I want to take the thing around the corner and just get thrown around. I don't need safety. I don't know, maybe it triggers my mom trying to control me. I hear my mom telling me to wear my seatbelt when I see the image of the M5 driver's seat closing in, holding you tighter as you turn to take a corner. Anyway, I miss the stick shift. I miss downshifting and revving and all of that. And everything now is like automatic and electric. And I get all that, but... I want a stick shift soon, hopefully. Okay, next one. Yes is also a complete sentence. And what I mean by this is we want to say yes to a lot of things that we believe we deserve. And there's a but right after it. So it's just good to know that sometimes you say yes, end it with a period, and know that you deserve whatever you are saying yes to. And the last one. And this one's really, I think it's powerful, at least for me, it's changed my lenses. And that is the answers are in our story. When we don't have answers, we don't know where to look. Usually we look outside of ourselves in our story. I think that life is beautiful in that way, you know, that the answers are in our story. And also, if you believe that, it means that your story has purpose. It means that what you went through has meaning, you know? And so that makes sense. That makes everything come full circle. And it also allows you to not rip out chapters, you know, not have regrets and know that you went through things for a reason. So if you're looking for answers, instead of looking for things outside of self, review your story, what you've been through, who you were, who you are, and that's where you'll find answers. Anyway, thank you for listening to this. And as I swim toward 50, thank you for whether you read my blogs, get my texts, or if you're in the lab and you engage in with me and my team live, or you just listen to my podcast. Just thank you for going on this journey with me. And I hope you are building a meaningful life. And I hope that I've been helpful in some way, whether it was a word or something I said, or maybe one of my books. It's a privilege to just, you know, help in any way. It's a privilege to be of service. Thank you for listening. Be well. Listen, if you are great at helping other people and you have a passion for that and you want to find personal freedom and level up the skills you already have, it's time to become a life coach. Journey Coaching. When I became a coach, there was nothing like this out there. And so I developed this coaching training program alongside Noel Cordeaux, Journey Coaching. That's JRNI. And it is amazing. It's 100% live. It's everything that I wish I had when I was starting out. Meaningful, evidence-based education, real people, real community, lifetime support and business development, ICF certified. Just go to theangrytherapist.com, my website, and click on Become a Coach and explore the Journey Coaching Intensive. See you in class.